Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and you know what?
Start spreading the news.
You mean Schaumburg Stewart here?
Yeah, it's always good to hear the man sing.
Of course, I am the Big Jack. If you'd like to call in and talk to Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for a new one popping up there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You could give that a like while you're over there. We greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu still isn't on Twitter. We're still working on that one, but I am out there at Burke Time if you'd like to hunt me down, so we can work that out. All right.
I got to start out before you start. I don't do predictions very often, but I'm going to make a prediction for today. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. I predict that the Bulls and Blackhawks will not lose tonight. You heard it here first. You heard it here first from Schaumburg Stu.
There you go. So that's a pretty confident prediction there. So, you know, I was interested today. I saw that we had a reliever signed in Major League Baseball, and I thought, oh, the Cubs finally added to the bullpen. But, no, sadly, it was the Angels who agreed to a one-year deal with Cody Allen. They got him on a pretty good deal. It's $8.5 million guaranteed with $2.5 million in incentives. You know, I know he's coming off a down year, but I heard today, you know, like his ERA was 4.70 for the year, but they said if you take out his three worst appearances, his ERA would have been 3.0.
That for sure is a bargain by today's standards, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? He's been one of the more, you know, reliable relievers. He's pitched in between 77 and 67 games in the last six seasons. So he, you know, he goes out there, you know, 149 career saves. He had 27 last year with the Indians. And it was definitely something the Angels needed. They needed somebody at the reliable at the back end of the bullpen, and you know, it gives Allen a chance to prove himself and go back out on the market next year and maybe make bigger money.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that makes the Angels a serious contender though for 2019.
No, you know, they did a lot of let's call it interesting things. You know, like they added Matt Harvey and Trevor Cahill. They needed some rotation help. So, you know, that was nice. And they added Jonathan LaCroix. They needed a catcher. But, yeah, you know, they signed them all to one-year deals. So I just wonder if, you know, come trade deadline, if none of this is working out, if we're just looking at a bunch of trade bait.
Very possible, because I don't see them winning the division, and I'm sure they're not the favorites going into the season.
No, and you know, and I'm not even sure they're a wild card contender. You know, I'm trying to remember what were they. I think they were like 80 and 82 last year or something. Yeah, and
yeah.
You know, Oakland was a wild card spot with 97 wins. So they're not going to put that in the jump.
Oakland's really amazing when you consider the amount of money that they spend, which is not very much, and the lack of big names they have in their lineup. They seem to have a very competitive team every year. as he did in 2018,
yeah,
of course.
You know, they do a fantastic job of scouting and, you know, signing the right players. So
yeah, the sad thing is with how competitive they were last year, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm willing to venture that they did not draw very many fans.
No, you know, I think they did a little better than normal. But, yeah, they, you know, notoriously they haven't drawn well. And, you know, that ballpark is a terrible place to watch baseball. You know, they have one of the worst ballparks, yeah, in MLB. So, but, yeah, you know, looking at the Angel lineup, you know, the everyday lineup is pretty solid. Now, this one doesn't have Ohtani in it because technically he's hurt. But you expect him to be the full-time DH. He should be ready for opening day. But, you know, they still have, you know, Cole Calhoun, Mike Trout, and Justin Upton in the outfield. This one projects Justin Bour at first base because they signed him. Albert Pujols is the DH. Then it's Andrelton Simmons at short, Zach Cozart at third, Jonathan LaCroix is the catcher. And the only real weakness is, it looks right now they're going to go with David Fletcher as the everyday second baseman. But don't forget, Stu, I'm sure you may have already forgotten this, on their bench, Tommy La Stella.
Well, that'll improve the team immensely. I know he's your favorite ball player.
Yes. So thank God
Tommy.
I don't have to see him in a club uniform.
Yeah, he was pretty good last year. Let's face facts. I mean, he was a decent pinch hitter, and his average was respectable. But I somehow don't think that's going to turn around the organization to a winning club. Maybe, you know, maybe I might win 85 this year.
Yeah, and, you know, and to be fair, I didn't have anything against him as a baseball player. It was just the way he reacted when he got sent down, and instead of going to Iowa, he went home. And I don't understand why he wasn't immediately released. I don't know why the Cubs played in and coddled him, but I guess that's just kind of today's society. I guess there's no such thing as tough love anymore. But, yeah, you know, if I would have been on the major league roster, I would have never let him back in the locker room. He'd be changing in the hallway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those things don't happen anymore. As you say, it's a PC world, and I think the same is starting to happen in the major sports too.
So yeah, but you know that was my beef with him. It wasn't the fact that he was a bad ball player and didn't belong to be there. I mean, he was actually as tough as a skill as it was. He was a pretty good pinch hitter. And that's not an easy job. That's probably the hardest job in baseball.
Yeah, I'm still wondering why the Cubs were so easy on him, though, when he decided to not report to Iowa.
Yeah, I've kind of given up that pursuit. But, yeah, I've wondered that for, a while as well. So, you know, we'll see. But now I did see, you know, you'll be happy to know this. The Cubs actually did make a signing for their bullpen today. I don't know if you picked this one up, but it looks like they are going to add, and I got to get his stats here. Rob, I'm going to guess this is Scahill is what I'm going with. S-C-A-H-I-L-L is what I'm going there. He appeared in 6 games for the White Sox last year, covering 5 innings with a 5.40 ERA. In parts of 7 years, he's 5-7 with a 3.85 ERA.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say he got a minor league deal. It doesn't say if he will be invited to spring training. But, yeah, apparently he's one of the guys the Cubs are going to try to repair the bullpen with.
That doesn't sound very encouraging.
No, I wasn't thrilled with it at all. But,
no.
You know, that seems to be their, for some reason it doesn't look like they're going to add any type of relief help, which I really think they need. But I guess they're going to try to do it on the cheap again, like, you know, Theo likes to do, and hope they hit the jackpot.
Yeah, a couple of times they lucked out with journeyman pitchers last year they got who had career years with the Cubs, like Chavez. I know that he has never really been all that impressive. He's had a decent career, but then he was outstanding with the Cubs. And, of course, it led him to a nice contract elsewhere because of that.
Yeah, I was wondering if the Cubs didn't bring him back because Texas offered him 2 years. I was wondering if maybe the Cubs were only willing to give him possibly 1 year, and that's why he ended up back in Texas. But,
he's had a career. He had a year, a terrific year last year, but there's no guarantee it's going to happen again. And so that's a risky move on Texas' part to sign him to a 2-year deal, considering his past history has never been all that great.
Yeah, it's just kind of odd because there are some quality, relievers out there, and I don't feel the Cubs need a big-time Craig Kimbrell type closer. I just think they need somebody who they can turn to, when Brandon Morrow can't do the job. He's going to be real close to being ready for opening day, and when he's healthy, he's actually a very good closer. So I just think they need another guy to supplement that besides Pedro Strop. And there are and there were some veteran guys out there, but like I said, they just don't seem to have an interest in bringing any of them in, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's very puzzling what they've done or lack of what they've done in the off season so far. Well, you'll be happy to know, that they're still not, according to I just saw a site that's saying, don't count them out of the Harper signing. They're not done. They're not. They might be a long shot, but don't count them out just yet. Although I'm conceding Philadelphia will wind up getting Harper.
I'm still convinced he's going to end up going back to Washington when it's all said and done.
Quite possible.
Because when you start looking at it, they already offered him 10 years at $300 million. Machado's number didn't get close to that from the White Sox.
No.
I know today there was a report leaked that apparently the Dodgers made a formal offer to Machado, and I don't understand that either unless Corey Seager isn't healthy, and they can plug him back in at shortstop. I don't know what else they're going to do with him. But
that was a surprising move by the Dodgers because they weren't even considered in the running anymore for Machado.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, like I said, unless there's something going on with Corey Seager that we don't know about because he is coming back from Tommy John. That might be an issue. Maybe he's going to have to be the guy who makes the move to first base and, they go that route. But,
everybody talks about Tommy John, and it's routine nowadays, of course. But they're not always 100% successful. I mean, let's face facts. It doesn't always work out exactly as you would hope it would. And maybe they're worried about that for Seager, and that's why they're thinking of getting Machado.
So it's interesting. It would be kind of weird because they're going to lock themselves up to him for quite a while. I mean, obviously Machado is going to get a long term deal, so I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see how it plays out. But then again, this is coming from his father, so you gotta wonder how much validity there is to this. The Dodgers never commented that they actually made an offer, and I don't think Machado's agent has said anything either. So,
right. Well, they would be getting a good ball player and a young ball player also, so it might not be a bad move. He's only, mid-20s?
26, I believe.
Yeah. So. For a long-term, it would be a good long-term solution for them at shortstop.
So I don't think any team that ends up with him, I don't think it's a bad move for any of them to get him. There was some talk earlier in the week about the mystery teams, and I'm just wondering if maybe the Dodgers were that mystery team.
Do you, if you were a GM, would you have concerns about his attitude, quote unquote?
Yeah, I don't think so. I never have a problem with a guy going hard into second base. You know, he had that hard slide into second.
Right.
You know, I know it's not popular in today's game. You know, the cheap shot he took at first base on the guy bothers me a little bit when he was going down the line. But I, you know, he'd never done it before. It was just something that kind of came out in his game.
Yeah.
And you wonder if maybe the postseason pressure was getting to him. You know, that may be my concern more than anything.
And does he always run out the ground ball the first on a routine play? Does he run that out?
Yeah.
Does he hustle all the time?
Yeah.
And that more concerning
that
to me than
I mean,
yeah. But that to me is more concerning than sliding hard into second base, which is to me normal baseball, the way it should be played, clean but hard.
You know, I mean, you know, how many guys now do you see, you know, come jogging out of the batter's box when they hit the ball, you know, right at an infielder? You know, very, very few guys actually run.
I think that happened.
You know, hard.
Didn't Baez do that? Javi do that one time, and Madden pulled him for the lineup. If you remember that one game last year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's weird, you know, because I know, you know, they got on Robinson Cano about it in Seattle, and then eventually the manager just came out and said it was okay because they didn't want him to get hurt.
Right, that's right.
So, you know, it's just kind of a weird player-to-player thing. I mean, you know, I think the veteran guys like Machado, even though he's 26, he's been around a long time now. You know, I don't think anybody's going to say anything to him. But, you know, if you're a young guy, you know, they're going to want you to, you know, hustle it out and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly right. And maybe veterans break it to in those plays. But
yeah,
what they're playing, they should run these plays out unless they have a possible worried about getting a hamstring or something serious. And maybe you can take it easy on a routine play to first base. But I've seen guys miss balls going to first base, and if the guy hustles, he beats the throw.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, you wonder, you know, how many of these guys could actually, you know, maybe beat something out or force a bad throw if they just ran, you know, even a little harder.
Right. At least make it a bang-bang play.
Yeah, you know, again, it's one of those, you know, lovely things where, you know, that's just kind of how baseball is now. And, you know, you got to kind of learn to live with it. But, you know, it gets tough.
Yes.
So, you know, just the, you know, all the fun stuff that I hate so much that they just continue to do. So.
Yeah, you know, that's baseball, and yeah, I don't know if you started to. Spring training isn't starting yet for a little while. Then I've been looking at some of the teams and trying to determine what I think is going to happen. And right now, I picked the Cubs for third, but I know you're more optimistic than that.
Yeah, no, you can't sell me on the Brewers with that starting rotation. I don't care what their everyday lineup looks like. When you go through that starting rotation, I don't buy them as a contender. And if you're going to try to tell me that it's no big deal because those guys are only going to pitch 4 or 5 innings a game, then you're not going to have a bullpen left come August or September, and you're not going to be able to compete. You know, you did it one year. You know, it worked out for you last year, but you got eliminated from the playoffs because your bullpen basically ran out of gas.
Yeah, and they did go all the way to Game 7, though. They did go to Game 7 in the NLCS. So, but
yeah.
I think you're right, though.
Well,
they did run out of gas.
You know, sadly, if they would have gotten into the series, they probably would have gotten swept because their pitching staff was done. You know, there was nothing left in that bullpen to go to. And, you know, I mean, they're going to miss, you know, Brett Sutter's going to miss the entire year due to Tommy John. You know, they did add Alex Claudio to the bullpen, but, you know, they're going to let Gio go. I'm really surprised they're not bringing Wade Miley back. And then they let, you know, they haven't re-signed Xavier Cedeno. Dan Jennings, I know, is a lefty specialist. He doesn't really fit with what they do. But, you know, Soria got signed by the A's, so they can't bring him back. So, yeah, I just don't see, you know, I mean, here's their projected rotation. It's Julius Chacin, Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, Brandon Woodruff, and Jimmy Nelson. You know, if Nelson's healthy, I do like him coming back, and he'll be better than a number five. But, you know, who dominates in that rotation?
None. Nobody, really. Which is why currently right now I would pick St. Louis to win the division.
Yeah, they're really an interesting team. You know, and I am wondering, you know, they do just kind of have Jose Martinez kind of stuck on the bench now that they picked up Goldschmidt. So, you know, I do wonder if they've got one more move there. You know, I do worry about back of their rotation because, you know, they're going to go with Adam Wainwright and Michael Wacha. And Wainwright's going to be 38, and you know Wacha's going to get hurt. He's probably only going to make about 20 starts.
But I
love their bullpen. I love the Andrew Miller signing because he can teach Jordan Hicks how to close. You know, and when you throw 100 to 105, you probably should be closing. They just got to get Hicks to throw strikes. But, you know, then they have, you know, Luke Gregerson and Breck Cecil down there who have both closed. So they, you know, they have a really nice mix, and they look like they're going to be a really good team. And that's why I've just been so disappointed that the Cubs haven't added bullpen help, because I think they need it.
Yeah, they certainly do. Their bullpen is very, very weak at the moment, and they've got to make some moves before the season starts.
You know, because, yeah, all the Bryce Harper talk is nice. Oh, yeah, hey, great, let's, you know, bring him in. He's this or he's that. But he can't pitch unless there's something I'm missing about his game. So, just kind of frightening.
Well, according to experts, right, that's pitching and defense wins games more than the long ball.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, those late-inning situations, you know, where the Cardinals are turning to guys like Andrew Miller and Gregerson and Cecil, who have a lot of experience, you know, the Cubs are going to Carl Edwards Jr. and, you know, Brandon Kitzler, you know, before they get to Strope or Cishek. So
that doesn't give you much confidence, does it?
No, not at all.
Yeah, and Edwards has been disappointing. I mean, he has got a lot of stuff, and sometimes he's terrific, but I think his control is still iffy, and he's still inconsistent.
Yeah, you know, I honestly thought he was a future closer a couple years back, but now more and more it doesn't look like he's ever going to be that guy.
No. He'll be the setup guy in the eighth inning or seventh inning, and that's about as good as we can expect from him.
You know, and I know, you know, a lot of these central teams, you know, they're going to have to be careful because, you know, the Reds have really made some sneaky good moves. And,
yeah,
you know, now they're saying, you know, they're the team right now that looks like they're in position to acquire Sonny Gray. So that would actually give them a third starter with some value. You know, they got Alex Wood in that big Dodger trade. They got Tanner Roark from the Nationals, who's a really solid middle, you know, 3-4 type starter. You know, Luis Castillo looks like a good young arm for them. And then if you add Gray, you get him out of Yankee Stadium. Maybe he goes back to the pitcher he was in Oakland. You know, you could have four guys and plug in one of your young arms and hope he develops. They could be a really sneaky team. And then, you know, you add Puig and Kemp to the everyday lineup. They could have something here that, you know, we don't know.
Well, I think they'll be very competitive, and looks like maybe the Central might be the strongest division in baseball. Is there a weak team? Pittsburgh had a very good year last year, and And yeah. I don't know. Are they going to settle into last place, Pittsburgh? And they were quite respectable last season. Weren't they over 500?
I think they ended up under 500. Oh no, they did end up 82-71. So, you know, they were over. But you know, also don't forget the Reds probably have the best closer in the division in Raciel Iglesias.
Yeah,
he's better than anything out there.
They could be a very interesting team to watch in 2019.
Yeah, you know, and I know they've got a big-time prospect. They have this Nick Senzel, who's just supposed to be a can't-miss kind of guy. You know, the weird part is I just don't know if they have a spot for him because he's a second baseman, third baseman. And, you know, Scooter Gennett has been fantastic for them there, so you don't want to bump him. And Suarez, Suarez quietly one of the better run producers in baseball that nobody talks about.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they're going to let Joey Votto maybe hit a few more long balls. That's been the criticism on him the last few years. I mean, the guy's a great ball player, but probably hit more home runs. He's looking for a bigger production for him.
You know, the problem with Votto is he's not afraid to take his walks. You know, he doesn't chase pitches. He's a really smart hitter, and sometimes he just misses out on, stuff.
Yeah, he's a heck of a ball player. So, like you say, they're going to be a very dangerous team with the acquisitions they've made.
Depending on how things shake out. I mean, kind of going over it, Pittsburgh probably has the weakest everyday lineup, 1-8. But they have a pretty good rotation. You got to figure Chris Archer is going to bounce back. And, Joe Musgrove was really good in his first, run through as a full-time starter. Jameson Taillon has kind of developed, and they have Trevor Williams. And then they have a really reliable closer, too, in Vasquez. Felipe Vasquez is a really solid closer. And then their setup guy, Kinoa Kella, I believe it's pronounced. He was closing with the Rangers, so they have him there as well. So, yeah, I just looking at this team, I just don't know if they're going to hit enough. So.
Yeah, but by and large, it looks like that's going to be the most competitive division in baseball.
With the Reds coming back and looking like a better team, they don't have that one team now that's just kind of given up and is rebuilding. So there's nothing dragging the division down right now.
No. Well, with that being said, what do you think the number of wins will be to bring you a division championship in 2019 in the Central? I think 93 will be enough?
I was thinking you probably got to get between 95 and 98 to win it. So,
and that won't be easy to do.
No, it's going to be, really tough and really competitive. So,
you'd rather have it that way.
Yeah.
Than just in pushovers, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be a very, very tough division. Yeah, I was going to say, there's only one weak team in the East, in the National League East. There's one weak team, and the other four are going to be all tough also, and it'll be competitive.
That's a very weak team, though.
That's one weak team, and four ones that'll be quite competitive, though, the other four.
Yeah, because I was wondering today, I know you picked up the Sun-Times where, that writer called the Cubs frugal. The Red Sox general manager came out today and more or less flat out said that they don't plan on adding any bullpen help right now, and their bullpen is probably more frightening than the Cubs. They don't have anybody with closing experience. You know, so that, you know, they're looking right now. They have dual closers in Ryan Brazier and Matt Barnes. And then the rest of the bullpen setting up is Heath Hembree, Tyler Thornburg, Brandon Workman, Brian Johnson, and Hector Velasquez. So,
and
talking about the defending champs here.
That's their weakness. That's their big weakness. And, of course, they have to pitch in Fenway, which is not easy to do.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, I know a lot of the problem is the fact that he mentioned, Chris Sale hits the free agent market next year, and so does Xander Bogaerts. So if they're planning on keeping these guys, you know, Sale is going to be, probably a $25 million a year pitcher. And, you know, you figure Bogaerts lands at $15 to $18 million. So, you know, you're going to have to find that money. I mean, they got a lot of stuff tied up. You know, they picked up David Price. I didn't realize he made $31 million this year. And he signed 4 years. It goes up to 32 the next three. They got J.D. Martinez at 23.75. I can't believe that Rick Porcello makes $21.125 million. So,
yeah, it's not going to be easy for them to retain all these players, and especially you think that maybe the fan base will sell out every game, but their attendance, the max attendance at Fenway is not all that large compared to other ballparks.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation, you know, for them. I mean, obviously they're going to sell out. You know, they have, you know, they do have money. But, yeah, you know, eventually, I mean, you can't continue to have all these guys making, you know, 20-plus million. And then, you know, they also have to figure out Mookie Betts is just 2 years away from free agency. You know, and if Harper and Machado are going to get close to that $30 million, you know, Betts isn't going to be far behind there. You know,
no,
he just won an MVP, and you know, he's looked at one of the top players in baseball. So it's... You know, they're in a cycle very similar to the Cubs, where you know you're gonna have to figure out how the heck you're gonna pay these guys.
Yeah, I'm afraid that they're not gonna be able to pay everybody, and both for Boston and Chicago. Eventually, it's gonna be a difficult situation.
Yeah, you know, like you know, obviously, you know, like I don't think they let Sale go. You know, I think they worked something out there. You know, but like I wouldn't be surprised if Xander Bogaerts was somewhere else in 2020, just so they could kind of stockpile a little money to try to throw it all at Mookie Betts, because it's going to take a payday. You know, he's probably looking at $28-30 million a year.
Yeah, it's going to be very tough for them, and well, that's the price you pay for success, though.
Yeah,
but that's.
You know, and it also doesn't help them that they're still on the hook with Dustin Pedroia for 3 more years. It's 15 this year, and then 12 after that. So at least it's going down, but I just don't know what he's going to give them for that movie.
No, exactly right. And it shows the cyclical stages in any of the sports. I mean, a team becomes successful, you got to pay the huge bucks, and then you have to let a couple of them go, and then you go through a rebuild.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how it works. You know, you win your title, you try to win another one, and, you know, you can probably get a good 5-year run until all those guys are out of arbitration, and then, you know, you just can't keep them all. I mean, there's no possible way to hang on to all of these guys. You know, and that'll be one of the things – you know, the Astros will be another, you know, coming up like that. I mean, they've had fantastic success, but, you know, they're really going to be looking at it. You know, I think they have a little more time than some teams, but, like, you know, next year they have Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole will hit the free agent market. So their top two starters go into free agency. You know, and then when you get to 2021, you know, George Springer gets there. And, oh, yeah, Bregman's not until 23. And did Correa sign a deal? I'm trying to remember. Is he on my list year.
Be far away.
Okay, we might have Carlos Correa on this list. Yeah,
oh,
there he is.
Sexy.
I don't know what he's doing. There I found him. Yeah, he's not till 2022 they have him. He's still in operation for a couple of years. But, you know, even those price tags are kind of high. I think Francisco Lindor just got awarded $20 million.
Yeah, that's the problem now. In maybe more so in baseball than any of the other sports, the salaries are just so astronomical that eventually it's going to bankrupt the club. I don't know how this thing is going to work. And that's, as we talked about earlier, that's the thing that's really impressive when it comes to Oakland.
Yeah. Yeah, they do a nice job of, you know, juggling things without too many high-priced guys. And, you know,
yeah,
it's impressive. You know, I do wonder a little this year, you know, that I'm a little sad they haven't re-signed Edwin Jackson, so we'll have to see how that goes.
Well, maybe the Cubs will pick him up in a deal.
I figured somebody would offer him a deal. He actually pitched pretty well for the A's last year.
He did.
I thought somebody would at least bring him into camp, but, you know. Oddly, the A's highest-priced player is Chris Davis, who makes $16.5 million. He's the only guy over that. The next highest-paid guy is Stephen Piscotty, who makes $7.33 million. Imagine that payroll compared to everybody else.
What a frugal payroll that is, huh?
Yeah, that's just nuts. So.
And Davis, was his batting average pretty low last year? I'm trying to remember now.
It's always right around 240, but he hits about 40 bombs and drives in about 100 runs every year.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, I guess that makes up for the low average to some extent, doesn't it?
Yeah. That you know, that kind of gets him through, you know, gets them through. I think he, if I remember right, and I want to double check it, he was the first player in baseball history to have like the same batting average. I think it was so many years in a row. Let me double check and see what I've got here for his stats. Yeah, for the last four full seasons, his batting average has been .247.
Every year? For 4 years in a row?
Every year. From 2015 to last year, he hit .247 every season.
That's almost unbelievable when you think about it.
Yeah. He did lead the league at home with 48, and he drove in 123 last year. So.
Yeah, well, that makes up for it then.
Yeah, that was his third consecutive 40-homer, 100-plus RBI season. So, you know, he is a big strikeout guy, 175 last year. But, you know, again, that's expected in baseball, especially with a power hitter.
Yeah, well, you know, that's going to happen. And, yeah, I wouldn't mind if some of the Cubs' averages were in that area, but if they wound up hitting the same number of home runs and driving the same number of runs as Davis does.
Yeah. So that wouldn't be terrible. So I think a lot of would take that.
Now to Davis, how old is Davis?
30.
He's only 30, so he's been around only a few. Yeah. He's got a long career left ahead of him.
Yeah, especially as a DH. You know, if he continues to stay in that DH role, you know,
right,
he's probably got 10 years left.
Yes.
So.
When he first started out, he didn't hit that many home runs initially, did he? Did it take him a few years to figure it out?
No, you know, once he started getting regular playing time, he pretty much has been a home run hitter from the get go. Let me double back to his stats here. You know, it took him, you know, because he started with Milwaukee. And
right,
they didn't, you know, he wasn't a full-time guy there. His first year full-time was 2014. He played in 144 games. He hit 22 that year. He came back in 2015 and hit 27. Then he went to Oakland and got into the 40s. So.
Yeah, well, Oakland's not an easy park to hit in either. I mean, that's you know, it's not one of those. There's not any cheap home runs there. So that's an impressive stat for someone, and maybe it took him 2 or 3 years to really get it. And, well, dare we hope that some of the Cubs will follow suit? 2 or 3 years of practice, and then it's time to step it up a little bit?
That would be a nice plus for some of these guys. I mean, they have, what is allegedly, a bunch of talent, and, I mean, it looks like Baez figured it out, and I know, Schwarber did end up with 26 home runs, but, I would have been happier if he'd hit 247 and still instead of 238, but, he did show power.
He did, but he can't hit left-handers. I think he only hit one home run all year against left-handers. Am I correct? I believe that's about it.
A lot of that may come from the fact, though, that he's really not given the opportunity, because it's like, well, okay, we're not going to play him against, lefty. So it's like, well, okay, how do we know if he can hit him when he doesn't play against him?
Right, but he just sometimes looks totally lost at the plate against a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, he had 76 at-bats against left-handed pitching last year. He did hit one home run. He ended up hitting .224.
Not what you want to see.
That's not a large number of at-bats. I mean, you don't even get to 100. It's difficult to, kind of pinpoint things. I mean, why does Rizzo hit lefties? Because he plays against them.
Rizzo's a very smart hitter. You notice that he'll do what few ball players do now when he gets two strikes against him. He does what I always say that Ted Williams always mentioned this. He gets, when there's two strikes against him, he'll concede something to the pitcher and choke up a little bit in the bat. Rizzo will do that, but how many others do it?
There are a couple guys. I saw a couple guys who do it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but, there are a few guys, the Cubs still run into that issue where they really probably have too many guys for the eight positions. And, in the end, that ends up hurting them because there's just not enough at bats to go around. While the Addison Russell suspension is a terrible thing, and obviously, he turns out not to be a very good person. In the end, for the Cubs, that may be a positive because it will free up a spot for some of these guys to get in and, maybe find a few more regular at-bats.
That's true. That's true. And they really have some work ahead of them, the Cubs, because what about center field, for example?
Yeah, well, if you leave Almora alone, let him play. He did hit .286. But they were complaining that he couldn't hit right-handed pitching. Well, obviously he did if he hit .286.
Yeah,
so,
but he tapered off. He really tapered off in the last part of the season. He tapered off very bad.
Yeah, but
in the last part of the
played
season.
A lot. Gaps a little. I mean, you want Ian Happ out there hitting .233, or you want the guy hitting .286? More homers, but does that really swing the difference with the batting average?
Happ has been a disappointment. I mean, he just strikes out way too many times, and his average is what, about .230? Is that what, .230?
Almora is the much better defender. So
yeah, oh no question about that. Great outfielder.
But we'll go through this again with Madden. I mean, that's how Madden manages. He's going to jumble guys around and, shuffle guys around, and that's just kind of, what you got to deal with. I mean, that's his style, and fortunately it's probably his last year here.
I'm just
going to
ask you that question. I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you, your gut feeling, do you think this is going to be his last season with the Cubs? As a Cubs manager,
you know, If he wins the World Series, no, they'll bring him back. If he doesn't, he's gone. So, I'm not even sure if a playoff berth gets him his job. I legitimately think they need to win a World Series. You know, because, I mean, last year was just such a disappointment, to not even make the playoffs. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they just fell apart last year. And we have to hope this year that they're free from injuries. And there's some guys will bounce back. I mean, Contreras has to bounce back. And of course, Ryan was hurt, but he's got to bounce back. And what about Zobrist? This is probably going to be his last year. I mean, he had a great year last year at the bat, but you don't know if he's going to be able to do that again. He's, 39?
Well, he'll be 38. Yeah, you just wonder, it looks like, Nolan Madden, Zobrist will be the starting second baseman with Russell suspended. That'll be, make Baez the shortstop. He's going to continue to run him out there. And, you just wonder at 38 how much he can do.
Exactly. So there's a lot of issues going into the season.
Yeah, definitely a lot of question marks. On the plus side, they look like they have a starting rotation that really good. You just kind of wonder, as long as they stay healthy. I mean, John Lester was fantastic last year.
He was
Cy Young here, and Hendricks had a little bit of an off year, but he was still 14-11 with a 3.44 ERA. That'd make him the number one starter on some teams. I really feel Quintana's been a disappointment since they acquired him, but if Cole Hamels pitches anywhere close to the way he pitched in the 12 games last year, they've got something there. And Darvish, I don't know. I'll wait and see on him. I'm not buying into that just yet.
Yeah, well, Darvish, before he got hurt, he wasn't very good. Or maybe
right.
That was maybe the injury was there and we didn't know about it. So I always think about that. Yeah, was he pitching hurt? And finally,
I doubt it. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that is going to try to, go out there and work hurt, but. The interesting thing with him is, he's only 30. He's only going to be 32.
Right.
He's still a young guy.
I think it's critical that he bounces back and pitches that like he's capable of pitching, as he's shown in the past.
Yeah. Well, the tough part with this team is, Madden fell into that trap last year where he didn't let pitchers work any innings except John Lester. How many times did Kyle Hendricks come out in the fifth inning because he got a guy or two on? Even though he was up, he didn't let him work out of trouble. He went right to the bullpen. So, it's kind of like, no, you've got to let these guys work a little bit. I mean, 5-6 innings is nothing to these guys. Let them go, let them try to work into the seventh and, give your bullpen a little bit of a break, especially this bullpen. I don't want to see these guys out there trying to cover four innings.
Yeah, and you think that Hendricks is the type of pitcher where he should be able to give you seven innings on a consistent basis.
Yeah. It kind of started in that World Series where Madden panicked literally every time a starter let somebody get on base except for John Lester. He's the only starter he trusts, and I wonder – with Hamels being a veteran like that, if he'll trust Hamels a little more. But, he mismanages the rotation so badly, that in the end, it kills your team. I mean, Steve Cishek appeared in 80 games last year, and somehow Justin Wilson ended up in 71. No wonder why they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah. It's amazing that Justin Wilson got into so many games. He was ineffective for quite a bit of the season. A couple of times he pitched okay, but certainly not the way he pitched in Detroit. Not even close.
So much for bringing in Madden's buddy, the great pitching coach, Kevin Hickey, who did absolutely nothing for this staff or this pennant. I mean, couldn't straighten out Tyler Chatwood. You know, Dunsing was horrible while he was healthy. Kinsler wasn't any good when he was, you know, when he got over here. So I don't know, you know, this guy, you know, Tampa Bay, this guy was a legend as a pitching coach. He gets to Chicago and he's an embarrassment. No wonder why he retired.
It's surprising that Kinsler was so bad with the Cubs because he's had a pretty good career.
Yeah.
But he didn't show it here, that's for sure.
He was a closer in Minnesota.
Yeah, he was good, except in Chicago. And what about Chatwood? What are they going to do with Chatwood? He has, what, a 3-year deal, 2 years left?
Yeah, actually, I think he got a 4-year deal. So I think he's got 3 years left. So I can double-check that here real quick because I'm on the page. Actually, yeah, he'll be a free agent in 2021. So, yeah, you're right, just 2 more years left. So
yeah, and 2 more years straight
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I mean,
control
he's,
issues.
He's the long man in the pen, right? He's the guy who comes in when you're getting blown out or you're blowing somebody out. I mean, you can't trust him any other way, can you?
No, unless they can figure out what caused his control issues. And the funny thing was that I don't think he's had a control issue like that in his past career.
No, not at all. You know, and again, that was the thing. Where was the what did the pitching coach do last year in Chicago? Here, I can tell you, he walked 95 guys with the Cubs last year. His highest total before that was in 2017. He walked 77 with the Rockies, but that was in 44 more innings.
Yeah, what a difference, huh?
Yeah, something was definitely wrong there. And, you know, again, I'm looking at a coaching staff who, you know, what did they – you know, make an adjustment, try to do anything with him, or you're going to give me that BS that you didn't want to mess with him during the regular season? Well, obviously you needed to because he was terrible.
He was awful, awful. And 77 he gave up with Colorado. That's not terrible, actually, when you think about it, because you have to be very careful pitching in that ballpark.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I understand you got to be careful in Wrigley, too, but 95 walks in 103 and two-thirds innings, yeah, not the ratio you're looking for.
No, yeah, he was bloody awful, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in spring training if they can figure out what he was doing wrong.
So yeah, because I mean, you know, if he can give them anything, you know, it's a plus.
Well, none of the coaches really did a wonderful job for the Cubs last year. Now they're saying how great a batting coach Davis is, but he didn't show it here.
No, well, did you see there's an article, I'm trying to remember if it's a Yahoo article or not, that Rizzo and Bryant leaned on Madden to fire him.
Yeah, I did see that. And is that just a rumor, or is that pretty much really what happened?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, again, it's just one of those stories that you never really, you know, you're never really going to know.
Right? Yeah.
Actually, it was Theo Epstein, not Joe Madden, that they, it says Theo Epstein faced pressure from Brizzo to fire Chili Davis. So.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that were true.
So it's a local story. Tony, I'm going to go with Andracki is the writer of this story. So,
yeah, I did see something about that, yes, but whether or not this actually happened is, I don't know, it's speculation. And when you think about Rizzo, by the way, he had a pretty good year except for the first 2 months at the plate.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, even injured, you know, Brian actually still hit 270. You know, he hit 272. He just didn't have any power with that injury. So
no, you
got to figure a healthy Chris Bryant will, you know, be a positive to the team. I mean, it can't hurt.
No, but his strikeouts last year were horrible, even more so than usual. And I'm wondering, like you said, maybe the shoulder had something to do with it because he looked really horrible at the plate last season. I know
was,
he strikes out a lot. That's just, as you say, the nature of the beast now in baseball is the slugger strike out a lot, but he just looked lost last year.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, the shoulder had a lot to do with it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
But, yeah, well, you know, we'll see coming back, you know,
Is he going to still continue with his head first slides? That's how he got hurt in the first place.
Nobody said. I guess we'll have to see. I mean, you know, who knows?
I'm surprised that so many players now in today's baseball do that head first slide as compared to what I consider the conventional way to slide.
Well, you know, if you're smart with it, I mean, you're not going to get hurt. It's just, you know, guys don't do them properly.
And he's a very good base runner, by the way. I mean, I've always thought he was an exceptionally good base runner.
You know, I mean, you know, I've seen, you know, Mike Trout do it where he, where he slides too close to the bag, and that's what gets these guys. You know, they slide too close to the bag head first, and they end up jamming their fingers or their wrist or something, you know, because they're too close to the bag.
Right, which is what happened with Brian last season.
Yeah. So
he has to bounce back, and also Wilson Contreras has to bounce back. He was nothing, though. I mean, maybe he caught too many innings. You know, as we always point out, the most difficult position in baseball is catching, and he did catch a lot of innings, but, boy, he was absolutely dreadful in the last part of the season.
Yeah, it surprisingly, you know, because there was talk, you know, in, you know, the year before that about how he was ready to become the best catcher in baseball.
You know what I mean?
He looked like he was on that path.
Yeah. Who would you rather have? Well, of course, Yadi's a little older than Contreras, but boy, Yadi has had a remarkably durable career. Although he was severely injured last year for a while. I mean, that was a terrible injury.
So, but yeah, you know, it's always tough right now at Yadi's age to, you know, as great as it is, you know, he's 34, 35. Sooner or later, it's going to come to an end, especially with all the catching he does.
Yeah, he's been, for the most part, remarkably durable. But as you pointed out, I mean, how many years can this guy do it?
So, luckily it seems like the Cardinals keep coming with catchers through the pipeline. So,
yeah, as we said earlier in the broadcast, I think they're going to be a very, very dangerous team for this season.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you add a 30-plus homer, 100-plus RBI guy to your lineup, you know, that's a big help to you. So.
Yeah, it's always a risk, though, to get these guys on a one-year deal like Goldschmidt, and when he becomes a free agent, and is it worth it? Maybe they're looking to bounce back this year and make a serious effort to get into the playoffs again.
That would be like, you know, was it worth it for the Cubs to pick up Aroldis Chapman? You know, if you win the World Series, it's worth it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. And, of course, thanks to Madden, that almost didn't happen when they overworked Chapman. But we've talked about that before, too.
Yeah, it's just kind of how it went. But luckily, things went their way. So, you know, I think it's 25 days till pitchers and catchers report. So, it's right there.
Yeah.
Went really fast, but this is when I was going to roll out of here. And I just a quick reminder, we won't see this Sunday. I mean, the fantasy is busy for a couple of weeks, so we're going to be gone. And on the next Monday, and of course, we come back Friday at 5. So I'm going to go on the wall of God, and I'll give you a full-time radio downtown, check out what's going on with them. Just go on the Facebook page and give them advice, but don't forget to put it to add full-time radio. Feel free to look me up on Twitter. Don't worry about it. Always go. This is coming live. It's awesome.